thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
So to speak, that we've been authorized as believers to live in, to be a part of, and that is the gifts of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit moving through us. And we want to actually move in, use the gifts, understand the gifts, change our world around us through the gifts like we never have before. So some of the ways that we're going to do this is next week you're going to hear Blake, great speaker if you've never heard him. He's going to give us kind of an overview of the house. And then for the 3 weeks after that, we're going to take the 9 gifts of the Spirit that are talked about in 1 Corinthians 12, and we're going to cover only 3 gifts a night. So that if either you are told, like you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, you're like, Roger, you might as well be talking in some foreign language. I don't know what 1 Corinthians 12 is. I don't know. I've never heard of the gifts of the Spirit. Awesome. This is for you. Because we're going to go through slow enough, and we're going to give you definitions, and we're going to show it to you in Scripture so that you're going to get it. And maybe you've heard teachings on this before, but maybe God wants to stir it up in you in a fresh way. So after we do our overview of the house next week, we're going to go into each one of these rooms, and we're actually going to set up these rooms. We're going to put in the furniture, so to speak, and then more than just learn about it, we're actually going to, like, experiment a little bit with it. Like if you were here when Pastor Jeff spoke in December and he actually had people try out the gifts in service. And we had all sorts of incredible testimonies coming back about, well, I didn't know that I could hear from God. I didn't know that something like that, like God could move through me like that. So we're actually going to, at a little slower pace, learn and try some things out. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So I don't want you to be scared about it, because if we can't do it here in this safe environment where we love each other, then you're certainly not going to use the gifts at the workplace, in your neighborhood, which is where God wants you to be able to use the gifts. And then we're also going to take a look into February in Romans chapter 12. There's a whole list of what's called the motivational gifts. We're actually going to give you an online survey that you can take. It's really fun. Doesn't take a long time. And then you can come back and hear us teach a little about that. So we're hoping that by the end of February that you and I, we've gone somewhere. That all now the gifts are moving through your life. You're using them at work. You're using them in the work in your neighborhood. You're using them in your small groups, your ministry teams, in different contexts, and you're feeling comfortable in the house, so to speak, that God's already authorized for you. So, how many of you do you think that sounds fun? That you might want to embark on this little journey together? So, if you'll take out your notes. The first question, part one, is the gifts of the Spirit denied or desired? And if you'll give me just a few minutes here to give you a little history lesson so that you might understand. Some of you may have grown up in churches where the gifts of the Spirit were denied. And one of the ways we can deny the gifts of the Spirit is by believing that the gifts are for yesterday. And you may have grown up in a church like that, that you heard preached that back in the apostolic days, back in the Bible day, there's these things called the gifts, because you can't read the New Testament without seeing. I mean, in the Old Testament, there's outbursts of the gifts and miracles. In the New Testament, it's just like everywhere. It's the floor, it's the air they breathe. And so all people, when the gifts weren't moving in their churches, had to come up with some kind of explanation as to why they were in the Bible, but they didn't seem to be moving in the church. Well, what had happened was, as the church went from the early church into the 400s, 500s, 600s, and the church began to become lukewarm and lose its cutting edge, they began to lose the gifts of the Spirit. And pretty soon, come the Middle Ages, the gifts of the Spirit were still active, but in very, very small parts of the church. So the vast majority of the church, they have no experience whatsoever with the gifts of the Spirit. And then when the Reformation comes and people get back to the Bible again, God began to put the church back together the way He wanted it. The first thing He restored was salvation by faith. You've got to start there, being saved by Jesus. And then God began to restore things like water baptism, things that we just take for granted. Believers actually died to restore the truth of water baptizing adults after they gave their life to Christ. And then the idea of holiness, which again, we hopefully take for granted that we're familiar with it, but that was a movement, John Wesley and the Methodists and being holy before God. And then God began to restore the gifts in the early part of the 1900s. And as God has restored the gifts, now they're proliferating throughout the world. When you go to overseas, you go to South America, you go to Africa, you go to Asia, the churches that believe in the gifts and move in the gifts, and they're like everywhere. They're like miles ahead of us in using the gifts to transform their culture. But what happened before the gifts began to be restored to the church is godly men and women looked around and said, no gifts happening here. Lots of gifts in the Bible. We got to come up with some kind of explanation. So they called it cessationism, believing that the gifts had ceased. You might have grown up in one of those churches. They were more common. They're not as common anymore, but they were more common. So the gifts haven't ceased. They never went away completely, and now they're like everywhere. So if you grew up in a church that taught that the gifts aren't for today, then this is going to be a great series for you because you'll be able to see that the gifts are for today, that they are a good thing. The Bible always assumes when it's talking about the gifts that they will continue. I've written down a bunch of scriptures. We're not going to look at all those scriptures under part one tonight. But if this is something where you're going, wow, you know, I heard something different growing up, Roger, or I heard something different in another church I was in, take a look at some of these scriptures. And if you're from that background, this first book I have referenced on your notes by Jack Deere, Surprised by the Power of the Spirit. Jack Deere was a Baptist pastor who did not believe in the gifts of the Spirit. And the reason that he calls it surprised by the power of the Spirit is God began to show up in his life and show him that the gifts of the Spirit were still for today. So if that is of interest to you, get his book, read it. I think you'll enjoy it. I'll read you one quote out of it. This is the one from page 99. No one ever just picked up the Bible, started reading, and then came to the conclusion that God was not doing signs and wonders anymore and that the gifts of the Spirit had passed away. The doctrine of cessationism did not originate from a careful study of the Scriptures. The doctrine of cessationism originated in experience. They were not experiencing the gifts, therefore they came up with cessationism. So you can read that on your own. It's a great read. I think you'll enjoy it. Like I said, church history, constantly the gifts are coming up. Even the converts of Wesley and Whitfield, these are some of the great evangelists of the 1700s. In 1876, there was D.L. Moody, himself a cessationist, in a book called The Trials and Triumphs of Faith. It talks about young men who were in his ministry, spoke in tongues, and prophesied. So the gifts of the Spirit did not cease. We went underground, so to speak. They were simply less common. So there's some good resources, some good scriptures you can look at. God is restoring the gifts. And we are a church that was birthed in the gifts. And Pastor George has talked about that, how at the very beginning, the founding pastor and his wife, she was miraculously healed. She was going to die. And so the gifts have always been a part of Faith Bible Chapel. But right now, the leadership is really feeling like we need to emphasize them again. So how do we do that? Go on to part two of your notes, empowering responses to the gifts of the Spirit. Number one is desire. Desire. Do you have desire? And what do you have desire for? When we moved out here from Lake Tahoe, we had to have a desire to get here because moving is a big pain. There are a few things that I like less than moving. Are you with me? I mean, you got to pack everything up. You got to put it in boxes. I mean, you have no idea how much you own until you go to move. And then you're like, geez, man, we own so much. I can't believe that we own this much stuff. One of the reasons that we're still in the same house 16 and a half years later is I hate to move. Like, it's a nicer house on the street. I don't care. I'm not moving. So we had to have a desire to go through all the work, to pack everything up, stick in the U-Haul, and even get out here in the first place. Look at what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:1. It says, pursue love, we're going to look at that more in a couple of weeks, and desire. Everybody say desire. Desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. What does the word desire mean? The Bible was originally written in the Greek, one of the greatest languages that has ever existed. God probably put it together as such a complex and amazing language so he could write the New Testament in it. So the word desire means this. It means to be zealous for something, to burn with desire, to pursue ardently, to desire eagerly or intently. So some other translations of that phrase, desire spiritual gifts, eagerly desire spiritual gifts, desire earnestly spiritual gifts, set your hearts on spiritual gifts, desire the special abilities the Spirit gives. So I want to take a look at four areas where this word desire is used in the Bible. These are on your notes. You can write them down if you want to. Four places that the word desire is used and how it can apply to how we approach the gifts. The first one is simply and obviously that we're called to desire spiritual gifts. In addition to the scripture we just read in 1 Corinthians 12:31, it says, but earnestly desire, same word, the best gifts. In 1 Corinthians 14:39, it says, therefore, brethren, desire earnestly, same word, to prophesy, which Pastor Blake's going to talk about on the first Wednesday night in February. What in the world is prophecy? We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about how God's called you to be a part of using the gifts of prophecy. So God wants us to earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. He wants us to reach towards it. I would ask you this question. What are you reaching towards in 2013? What do you want? Always on the top of my list, besides a closer relationship with the Lord, is always relational things. I want my marriage to be better. I want my family to be stronger. I want to have strong friendships. So one of the things that God would have us to put on our 2013 desire list is to desire spiritual gifts. That word desire, as we already looked at, is such a strong word that it doesn't give us the option of just being neutral. It doesn't give us the option of just saying, well, you know what, I'm with you on the other stuff you might preach about and, you know, Bible characters I'm going to root you on. But spiritual gifts, I'm going to sit on the bench. I'm going to sit that one out. I don't want to. That's not a part of Christianity that I really want to embrace. But if the Bible is telling us to ardently desire, to burn with desire for spiritual gifts, then that tells me that God wants you and I, He wants every believer to put into our wish list that we could move in the area of spiritual gifts in a greater way in 2013. Would you agree with me there? Desire spiritual gifts. Here's another place that that word is used. And if you're writing some things down, write down desire with flaming jealousy. In 2 Corinthians 11, 2, these next three scriptures that we're going to look at, we're going to look at four total, are not specifically talking about the gifts, but I want to apply it to the gifts. In 2 Corinthians 11, 12, it says, "For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you," or "I have married you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin, as a pure, holy person to Christ." Many times when we think of jealousy, we think of in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, love is not jealous. There's a negative jealousy. There's a being jealous because someone has a nicer house, a nicer car, you like their career better, you wish that you had their friends, or you know, whatever it might be, there's a negative jealousy that the Bible tells us don't have that. But there's a godly jealousy that God wants us to have. And in this case, Paul says, "I have godly jealousy for you because I want to present you pure to Jesus Christ." When we first moved here, there's a company that's still around, and they go door to door, and they take orders for frozen foods. And then they deliver them, and you know, you can have your meal just, you know, thawed out, cook it, whatever, it's ready to go. So the frozen food guy comes by and stops at our house because we're new in the neighborhood, and I'm not there. And so my wife's home and my kids are home. And so, you know, he stops by and, you know, gives her the brochures and stuff like that. So I get home from work that evening, and my kids say, "Hey, like, you know, the salesman came by today. He was flirting with Mom." Now, I don't know if he was really flirting with Mom. He might have just been kind of a, you know, salesman-friendly personality. I mean, I've been flirting a lot. I don't know. But you want to talk about some godly jealousy. I'm like, You know what I'm talking about, husbands? We never ordered from that company. So there's a godly jealousy that God would have us to have about the gifts of the Spirit. It would be that we want the gifts of the Spirit to be a part of our life. It would be that we want the gifts of the Spirit and the way that they move in our church to be pure. We want the gifts of the Spirit to be functioning in such a way that we're attracting people to Jesus Christ, that we might present them to Jesus as new creations in Christ. So that word desire is also translated jealous. Are you jealous for the gifts of the Spirit in a godly way? Another way that the word desire is translated is in the word zealous. So word of desire in a zealous way, word of desire with repentance. I'll show you the scripture here in Revelations 3:19. It says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous." That's the same word as desire. "Be zealous." And what's it say there? Repent. Do you find that around the end of the year and the beginning of the new year that God begins to bring you into a place of repentance? a place of looking at your life and looking back over 2012 and thinking, oh man, I missed some opportunities, didn't do some things like I wanted to, didn't husband or father or be the employee I wanted to or the friend that I wanted to. God wants us to desire the gifts with repentance. And here's what I mean by that. Perhaps you have been one that has believed that the gifts weren't for today. Perhaps you have been one who has believed that the gifts aren't good, that they're negative, that they're something that you should try to keep out of the church, and you should try to keep them out of your life. Repentance simply means to think about something in a different way. So God would perhaps have some of us to think differently about the gifts. Maybe you weren't anti-gift. You were just they're fine. I don't care. You know, they're just something there on the side. They're kind of like salt or peppery. If I get them, I get them. If I don't, I don't. Maybe God would have you just to relook at your whole approach to the gifts of the Spirit. One of the things that Jesus did, apparently twice at the beginning of his ministry, at the end of his ministry, was that he went in and he cleansed the temple because the temple was being misused and had no longer become a place of worship, but had become a place just of commerce. And one of the things that was said about Jesus in that action, it says that his disciples remembered that it was written, zeal, that same word as desire, zeal for your house has eaten me up. I want us to have a jealousness for this house, that God would have it to be everything that he's called it to be. And in our DNA and in our initial calling, we were called with the same call as the early church to have the gifts of the Spirit functioning in our body and functioning through every person. Not just a few. The gifts of the Spirit are not just for a few. They're not just for pastors. They're not just for a few super spiritualites who, when you try to talk to them, they can't even put a sentence together. They're so spiritual. No, it's for the guy that goes to work and works with a hammer. The person who goes to work and works on a computer and he's an accountant. The housewife who stays home and raises her family. The young person, the old person. The gifts of the Spirit are for every person. And we need to repent if we've had an attitude other than that. And then a fourth place that we see this word desire used is in the area of giving. And this scripture talks about financial giving, but I want to apply it to the gifts of the Spirit. We should desire to give. Paul, in 2 Corinthians, is writing about this special offering that he is taking up from the Gentile churches, the non-Jewish churches. He's now in the non-Jewish part of the world to give an offering for the Jewish Christians who are being persecuted by the non-Jewish Christians. And so he wants to bring a gift to them to help them, to show them how thankful the non-Jewish Christians are for what they've given to them. So here's what he says. He says, now concerning the ministering to the saints, or the offering that I'm taking up for the saints in Jerusalem, it is superfluous for me to write to you. In other words, I shouldn't even need to write to you, for I know your willingness about which I boast of you to the Macedonians. So he went to Corinth and he said, hey, we're going to take this offering. And they were like, yeah, we're in. Yeah, you know, they're giving the shout and they're Jesus, Jesus. So he says, okay, like when I come back, you know, get the gift ready. I'll be back in a couple months and we'll take the offering up. You know, back in those days, they didn't have necessarily the bank accounts like we do, so they had to kind of like, you know, pull things together. So he says, I know your willingness about which I boast of you to the Macedonians, and that Achaia, which is Corinth, where Corinth was located, was ready a year ago, and your zeal, Your desire, your ardent burning has stirred up the majority. When everybody else heard how excited the Corinthians were about giving to this, the Macedonians said, hey, man, we're on too, but we're ready to go. So here's how I would want to apply it to the gifts. When you use the gifts, when the gifts start to flow out of your life, other people see it and they go, I want that too. I want to flow in the gifts. And right now, you mean that term flow in the gifts may not mean anything. You may just be kind of like a Christianese. You're going, I have no clue what that means. By the time we're done, you'll know what it means. And it won't be super spiritual. We'll bring it down to where you'll know how to use the gifts in the most unchristian environment you can imagine. You'll know how to use the gifts in your workplace without them thinking you're a big weirdo, okay? So, but when you hear that other people are using the gifts, it's like when I hear about, you know, some of the people that are in the healing room and the altar team and some of those folks, they've got a real anointing in this area. It stirs me up. Like, wow, I want to see some people healed too. Like, that sounds like really fun. So as we begin to use the gifts, other people will get stirred up. Other people in the church will get stirred up. They'll start asking you about it. You'll be able to pull out your notes from Wednesday night and say, let me tell you all about it. Okay, number two on your notes. Don't be ignorant. Don't be ignorant. Paul said, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. So why did Pastor George and Pastor Jeff begin to teach on the Holy Spirit and the gifts on our weekend services? Because they don't want our church to be ignorant of the Holy Spirit and the gifts. Why are we going to take it a little bit further on Wednesday nights? Because we don't want you to be ignorant. Paul says, don't be ignorant. Another translation says, for I must correct your misunderstandings about them. Another translation says, I want you to know the truth about them. So Paul, far from just being, okay, the gifts, I want you to know about the gifts. So why is it important to not be ignorant? Well, the first reason is because ignorance can lead to misuse. Have you ever been ignorant about something and you didn't know how to use it? I remember when I was, you know, like 15, and my neighbor, we lived in Southern California, he got a dune buggy. Now, this thing was very cool. But it was a stick shift, which none of our cars were stick shifts. So he tried to teach me how to use the stick shift in the dune buggy. I was completely ignorant as to what to do with the stick shift. So it was a very jerking experience because I didn't know how to use it. A lot of people misuse the gifts because they don't know what the Bible says about using the gifts. Some of you don't want anything to do with the gifts because you've seen them misused. You may have been in a church where they were misused. It was just wild craziness, out of control, weird. And you were like, well, Roger, if that's what you want from me, I'm not interested. No, it's very possible that what you saw was a misuse of the gifts. In Corinth, where Paul is writing this letter to, the Corinthian church was misusing the gifts. It was a mess. When you came into service, everyone's just speaking in tongues. Everyone's yelling out. Everyone's having prophecies at the same time. I mean, it was probably like going to the stock show, and down the room where they have all the animals, and they're all making noises and this and that. That was probably kind of what it was like going to the Corinthian church. But Paul didn't say, look, you guys are like just messing up the gifts. Stop using them. He didn't say that. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant. So the solution to misuse isn't stop usage, it's teaching. It's proper context. It's good balance. And that's what we have here at Faith Bible Chapel. So you'll be able to experience the gifts in a balanced and mature setting. So ignorance can lead to misuse. We don't want you to misuse the gift. Ignorance can also lead to you just not using your gifts. Now here's what's exciting. As we begin to go through these nine gifts of the Spirit, then we take a look at the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, some of you are going to go, you know what? That happens to me. I had no idea that was a gift of the Spirit. Like, had I known that that was God speaking to me to get up and go over to my boss and ask him, how you doing? And like, offer to actually like pray for the burly, mean guy? Like, I would have done it. I didn't know it was God. I had no idea. Or you were talking to a friend and they were troubled about something and God gave you a word of knowledge and you'll find out what that is in a couple of weeks. And you were like, what's that thought? That's like really weird. Didn't share it. Might have been a gift of the word of knowledge that might have helped them. So as we're going through these gifts, you're going to find out you've already got a lot of these. And now, when they start happening to you, you'll go, oh, I think I know what that is. I'm going to step out and I'm going to do it. So that's going to be very exciting. It's going to be very encouraging to you. You're already using the gifts of the Spirit in your relationships, in your businesses, your workplaces, and you're not even aware of it, or sometimes you're just letting it go by. So we want to replace ignorance with wisdom and with personal knowledge. The wisdom of what does the Bible say about the gifts, and the personal knowledge is this is not just an academic classroom so that you can, you know, okay, what are the nine gifts? And you can like, you know, rattle them all off like this. That's not the point. I don't care if you even know what they're called when we're done. We just care that you're doing them. And then lastly, fundamentals to receiving spiritual gifts from God. I'm going to give you four of them quickly. The first one is you have to be born again. You have to know Jesus Christ personally. And if you don't know Jesus Christ personally, then I want to encourage you that tonight is your night. We're going to have the prayer team come forward in just a couple moments. In fact, Rod, I don't know if you're still here, if you want to come on out, but we'll do a final song. And why don't you come on forward? One of us would love to pray with you and introduce you to Jesus. It's the greatest relationship you could ever imagine. But also, you have to believe in the spiritual gifts. And for some of you, you might need to go home and look up some of these scriptures. You might need to maybe get that book, Surprised by the Spirit by Jack Deere, and do a little studying and find out whether or not this is really in the Bible. That's a good thing to do. Thirdly, you have to communicate with God, or you have to be in active relationship with God. If you never read your Bible, you never pray, and I would guess that some of you, as the New Year's beginning, that's probably what's on some of your hearts is, I want to get closer to God this year. As you abide in Christ, that's how the gifts of the Spirit flow out. You don't work them up. You don't jump up and down and, you know, hyperventilate. They flow out of a relationship with God. And then lastly, you have to be willing to risk, to step out, to do something uncomfortable. You have to practice it. You have to work at it. But if you do that, you'll find out, and we'll start, you know, doing that in a couple of weeks. It'll be fun. You'll find that the gifts will start flowing through you more and more. Stand to your feet. And if I could have a prayer team, pastors, elders, come on down. The main question that I have for you tonight is this. No matter where you are in how you feel about the gifts of the Spirit, from Roger, you still haven't totally convinced me that they're for today, to I'm scared to death of them, I've seen them misused, to maybe, to like, man, I'm already doing this and I'm excited you're teaching about it.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.